you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, everyone.
Welcome.
Martinis and murder time.
You know what we haven't talked about in a while is our theme song at the beginning. I love that theme song. Yeah.
I've been getting a lot of tweets, I'm sure you have, about people binging it. And I can only imagine them hearing that deep breath like 66 times.
In a day.
In a day. Because people are like, oh, we binged it. I'm like, are there enough hours in a day to do this? Like, I'm impressed.
We've talked about this before. I'm like, how do you people have time to have a life?
Don't call our fans you people.
No, I mean, trust me, I've binged many. Cereal, S-Town, all those.
Yeah, Dirty Taco John, Bell, sponsors.
Taco Bell, sauce, sponsors. But I just find it fascinating that people can listen to us talk for that long. I don't even like hearing my own voice for that long. I was just talking to Megan, what are we saying you are, tech producer, Megan?
She's so much more than that.
Yeah, she is way more than that. I just don't want to discredit her. But, you know, we were talking.
She's our bitch.
Okay, yeah, there you go.
I feel like that's the professional title.
Nice.
Yeah.
I was telling her, I was like, I don't even like hearing myself in the headphones whenever we're doing this, but that's just normal. But anyway.
Yeah, so, I want to vomit at the sound of your voice every time.
Of course you do.
Obviously. Well, that's we're doing this.
Speaking of our fans, though, we talked about the whole hashtag.
We had dedicators. We talked about some peeper and prowlers came in. We've been back and forth about this. And right before the podcast,
literally minutes before,
we decided we're just going to keep it at hashtag dedicators.
So there we go.
D-A-D. So there it is.
And it can be our little secret, by the way.
The fans have spoken.
Whenever people see you on social media using hashtag dedicators, they're going to be like, what are you talking about? And you should say, listen to Martinis and Murder and find out what that is.
And you should say hashtag dedicators, hashtag Martinis and Murder.
Right, of course. But and then probably link to the show, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah, the whole thing. And like compliment us too. But I kind of like it just being like, hey.
Yeah.
Hey, Twitter.
Right.
I'm hashtag dedicated and no one fucking knows what they're talking about.
Absolutely.
I'm in.
So there you go. Thank you guys so much for your feedback.
Thank you. We
did get a lot of feedback about it. So we really do appreciate you listening. Last week, Darren, we also talked about our new e-commerce website where you can buy Martinis and Murder swag.
Yes, thank God.
I wonder if anyone bought anything. If you're listening and you bought something, let us know.
I hope you did, and send us a photo.
Yeah.
We like photos.
Well, we mentioned too last week that we would be giving away some things.
Yeah.
And we
sometimes
it takes us a few weeks to get around to it. We got it together.
Thank God.
And we are giving away 5 t-shirts to 5 lucky fans.
Damn right we are.
Now, we sold some of these t-shirts at our last live show at Caroline's on Broadway. I think, when was that? December?
Yep.
And fans really liked it. I mean, some of those girls
changed into those
shirts like during the show and we're taking pictures. So
it's a great graphic. We have a bunch of shit.
Totally.
We
do.
On the site.
Check it out.
And we want you guys to wear our shit.
Yeah. So, but if you don't want to buy something because you're so cheap, help me, I'm poor.
Help me, I'm poor.
As Kristen Wiig said on Bridesmaids.
Hey, no shame.
No, trust me, I get it. I would be doing this if I were listening to the show as well.
Yeah.
But anyway, 5 t-shirts for 5 fans. There are a couple of requirements, and then Darren's going to tell us the legal jargon.
Yeah, I'll say it real quick.
Yeah, so the requirements are you have to be following Matt the bartender. Most of you listening probably do.
Unfortunately. That's one of the requirements.
Follow Matt @_the_bartender on Instagram, and then go to the photo of one or all of us.
I think it's going to be all of us.
All of us? We haven't taken it yet.
We're going to take it, yeah. I think, after, but it's going to be all of us.
And we're going to be wearing the shirts in the photo, and yes. You have to comment on the photo. We'll make sure you know exactly which one it is. And basically, you're entered to potentially win one of those t-shirts.
You got to use a certain hashtag.
That's true. Although I don't remember the hashtag.
It's #martinis and murder sweepstakes.
Okay, so there you go.
Seems easy enough.
We'll have all of this, if you're listening on, like, you know, Apple's podcast app or whatever, all this information will be in our show description.
But in order to be eligible to win, it's very important to follow Matt, see that picture of the three of us, you'll know which one it is, #martinis and murder sweepstakes.
And you should go to oxygen.tv/t-shirt sweeps to get all of the information. Darren, tell them a little bit about the legal stuff, because frankly,
are you ready for this?
Yeah, let's hear it.
You're giving it to me because I can talk really quickly.
Right. Okay. So let's take a deep breath.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Open to residents of the 50 United States and District of Columbia who are 18 plus. Starts 3/25/2018 and ends 4/8/2018. For official rules and details, visit oxygen.tv/t-shirt sweeps.
Oh my God.
Do you like that? That wasn't even...
You didn't even rehearse this.
Megan didn't even have to fast forward me
and
like speed me up. That was all me.
We were originally going to do...
That was one read through, people.
We were originally going to do an edit to that voiceover where, you know, it's like sped up like you would see at the end of an infomercial.
Right.
But Darren is apparently very skilled in doing that.
A quick talker.
Yeah.
My jerseyness really comes in there.
I'm just amazed.
Yeah, that
Thank
was incredible.
You.
Good
Thank
for you.
I'm the opposite.
Megan, are you amazed?
That's the opposite.
She seems unimpressed.
I actually speak a lot more slowly, but my voice is sped up constantly.
That's
right,
true.
Megan?
We need to, otherwise the podcast would be an hour and 45
minutes. It's like too
minutes.
Long of a show.
So please enter.
Yeah, we're excited to give these away.
Yeah, and wear it.
Yeah.
They're comfortable. They're soft.
They are very soft.
And they have the Martinis and Murder logo on
it. Yeah, there's one with the logo. There's one with a cool little like design that includes Matt as the reindeer with an orange peel and a martini glass.
Matt had to get a fucking t-shirt in there, right?
I know.
He wants a listener shout out.
He always does.
He wants a fucking t-shirt.
He was like, by the way, here's what we have to do. Follow me. I was like, really, Matt? We're doing this?
It's hard having two girlfriends. Like, it's hard dating two people that are so high maintenance.
Totally.
You know,
it's tough for you.
It's really hard.
Well, anyway, that's that. So definitely check that out. We are going to get to the drink of the week.
Yeah.
And now I want to mention that we have a staff boozer named Gina here at the Oxygen.
Yeah, we do.
I asked her if she wanted to be called that. She was like, that's fine. The staff boozer is fine.
I've been called worse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Here at Oxygen Digital, who helped set us up with this week's drink. Now, Matt, you're going to tell us all about it, but there were some details that Gina sent to me that she would like to have mentioned on the show.
Yes. And I would like to thank Gina, too.
Yes.
I think we could say her last name, right?
Sure.
Gina Pace.
Yeah, she's great.
She's been setting us up with new recipes. They're really, really good.
Yes.
And we should also, before mentioning the drink, call out Allie Vanderhayden.
Yes.
Who's been working on a lot of the scripts for
us.
She sounds just
researching.
So elitist. Allie Vanderhayden.
When she first started here, I was like, are you Allie Vandersloot? And there's some sort of connection.
Exactly.
On to you, Allie. Vanderpump.
Is her brother?
Second cousin,
boyfriend?
Third removed. Yeah, something,
yeah, something
like that.
Like
former
something
ex-boyfriend?
Like that.
Yeah, something like that.
She'll be fired in a week.
She'll be fine.
What are we saying?
So this week, the recipe comes from a book called Road Soda by Kara Newman, and it's kind of perfect for this crime, which I'm not going to get into, but
yeah,
there's hitchhiking that goes on.
Leave that to
this
us
week,
yes.
Right,
there is.
And the whole point of this book is recipes and techniques for making great drinks anywhere.
So like if you're traveling, not while you're traveling.
Andy calls them a roadie.
Oh, okay.
So like when we're on AC2 or something, he'll get a road soda, but he calls them a roadie.
And AC2, for those who don't
is
know.
Is a tour he does with Anderson Cooper, yeah. But he'll always like, gotta get my roadie. So, you know, roadie, road soda, it all works
now. Yeah, nice.
Yes. So this drink is called the Casualty.
Which is very appropriate for the show.
Very.
Yes.
And it is 1.5 ounces of famous Grouse blended scotch.
Love Grouse.
3/4
Never heard of it.
Ounce of Montenegro Amaro.
Love it.
We're using 1/2 ounce of sweet vermouth, 1/4 ounce of water, one dash of Mole bitters, and one orange twist. Now,
look, go ahead. Go
yeah,
ahead.
Yeah. I'll say this.
And then I'll say something too.
Okay. What you do...
I love that we're prepping each other for saying
yeah,
things.
For saying
and then
things.
I'll say something after.
And then you say something after.
And then we'll talk about it more. Megan, no.
Megan, we'll have
Megan that's where we're drawing the line. No.
Just the three of
Can I say something
Go
now?
Go ahead, yes.
So you funnel the scotch, Amaro, sweet vermouth water, and bitters into a flask. This is the on-the-go aspect.
I bet it'd be seen a fucking flying
over there. And you shake it to combine, then you refrigerate it for at least 2 hours. Ours were refrigerated for about 3.5.
He did get on that earlier, so good for
about 3.5, 4 hours.
Oh, I thought he was going to be like 3 minutes. Okay.
Yeah. And then you shake the flask when you take them out of the refrigerator, okay. Right? Or the ice box or whatever you have. Then you put an orange peel. My mouth is watering.
I'll address this in a minute.
You put an orange peel in the flask, and then you, it has to be thin, and then you take it out, mm-hmm. and it leaves a wonderful flavor. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll say this. Uh-huh. This is going to throw John. Literally, I did not make John's with sweet vermouth. I made it with everything else. There's no vermouth in John Thrasher's flask. Now,
not a fan of vermouth.
Keep talking.
Okay, well, here's, you know, Gina sent me some information about this drink. Yep. She says, quote, this is literally from her email. Another cool feature is that you stick the orange peel directly into the neck of the flask. Oh, do you mean the neck of John? And it leaves some oil behind when you take it out. So thank you, Gina, for thinking of us. Yeah. However, I don't think that we need any more orange peels on
PTSD.
The show. I have PTSD about this. I know that he's going to throw
it
at me.
Look how cute Matt is shaking little flasks.
Little flasks behind us. So I'm just surprised that we're in this position again, given my
situation.
There's
only so much fruit that can be like a cocktail fruit.
Right. And I'm sure, by the way, Darren, you're probably wondering, am I okay, right?
That's the first thing on my mind.
Thank you. I would like just to say that it's been very difficult.
Let's get to the murder this week.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, wait. I got to hand out the drinks.
Okay. The drinks are literally in flasks. This is amazing.
This is John's.
Oh, I like that one.
Oh, that's
it might
pretty.
Be the most feminine one.
Well, exactly.
We didn't want to say why.
It works.
I think the listeners know at this point, if you're hashtag dedicated, you know.
That's true.
These are slightly more masculine. I don't know if Darren is more masculine than me or not.
Well, let's describe them. So mine, the feminine one that Matt's is circular.
It's amber.
It kind
of looks like a perfume bottle.
I love it. Give it to me.
It's a rounded flask with a window to the world that you can see the liquor in. It's very dainty, but refined.
Very my brand.
Maybe I'll take the leather one and no.
Yeah, you're a leather daddy, right, Matt?
You don't, maybe.
Okay, new fun fact.
Yeah,
you don't like wood. That's why I was going to take the leather one.
That could go so many ways.
Wouldn't I get the leather one if I don't like wood?
Let's just take them and not read too far into these flasks. Okay, guys, thanks.
Okay, I'll have
so the drinks are already in these, right? How cool is this?
This is awesome.
A cool new way to drink. Okay, Matt's getting an orange peel.
I always wanted, I love flasks. I love Zippo lighters too, right? But they're a little impractical because at this point I'm 21 and I can buy alcohol wherever I want. But I just love the look of a flask. I just love that idea of just being
keeping
on the road
around,
and sipping the whiskey and being all sad.
Totally.
I love it.
I would probably just put sweet tea in mine, to be completely honest. I'm not a big drinker outside of the show, but I totally get the appeal of having a little palm-sized drink. So, Matt, should we take a drink or should we wait for you? Okay.
We're waiting.
For those listening and wondering if this is still a show about a murder, yes, we will be getting to that very shortly.
Well, hear about this murder this week is I was actually very excited about it because I've heard of this woman before.
Yes.
And it's about a woman, which you obviously know because I'm sure it's going to be in the show title.
Right.
And, it's rare to have a female serial killer on the loose.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we've talked about a lot of female killers through the years, but this one is very interesting in that, she was kind of like the first one, or at least
she's definitely
in
the most
day.
Infamous, I would say, because she's, I think, the most prolific female serial killer of all time.
I think that's true. Yeah, we'll see.
I couldn't think of
details.
Another one off my head. If someone asked
me
a female, it was going to be her.
And there are so many male names that we know over the years. Jeffrey Dahmer and all the different ones that there are out there. And by the way, we're doing this week's episode because of Snapped Notorious, the Eileen Wuornos case. The episode airs on Oxygen Sunday the 25th, which is when this episode is released. But if you're listening to this after that date, you can watch it on demand on Oxygen.com or on the Oxygen Now app.
Yes. Shall we do this?
We should just cheers, bitch. But Matt still got his. Megan, I guess Matt forgo you this week, but you'll be back next week. Forgotten? Is that? Oh, I just realized the reason of that word.
Starbucks cup full of Baileys.
Oh, she has Baileys.
She has a Starbucks cup full
still
of
haven't
Baileys.
Had Baileys lately.
Cheers,
okay, cheers bitches, to the Starbucks cup.
Let's taste this, Matt.
All right. Mine has a little orange peel in it. This could be poison.
I need to shake it up.
Ooh.
Ooh, Matt said shake it up. Let me shake it
up. I actually really like that. I get the orange flavor at the top. I feel fucking badass drinking from a flask.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get to the murder as I sip from a sad flask.
I'm drinking mine from a perfume bottle. Let me take a sip.
If anyone wants to send us flasks with cheesy gordita crunches Ooh. In them, please feel free. Hashtag Taco Bell, hashtag sponsor.
They need to make a flask for tacos. This is really good. I really like this. It's very strong.
Ooh, I haven't eaten that much today, so I'm ready.
Wait, I'm sorry. Before we move on, are these your actual flasks?
Gina
brought them. Okay.
Of course, Gina.
Has random flasks just hanging out.
Who doesn't need a great new pair of socks?
And who doesn't want to help out their community?
If you want both, Bombas are the only brand of socks you'll ever want to slip your feet into.
The people at Bombas put 2 years of research and development into crafting the perfect pair of socks, from the honeycomb arch support and cushioned footbed to the seamless toe and blister tab to prevent painful chafing.
Plus, they're woven with extra long staple cotton that stays warm in the winter and cool in the summer. They're super soft and super durable, and so comfy, you'll never want to take them off.
Socks are the number one requested item in homeless shelters across the U.S. When the founders of Bombas saw the statistic, they decided to do something about it. That's why for every pair of socks they sell, they also donate a pair to someone in need.
Bombas believes in 100% customer happiness. Simply put, if you don't love their socks, they will give you a no-questions-asked refund. But believe me, you won't need it.
If you're looking for a soft, comfortable pair of socks that do wonders for your feet and for people in need, you can save 20% off your first order by visiting bombas.com/martinis and entering the offer code martinis in the checkout code space.
That's Bombas, bombas.com/martinis, and enter the offer code martinis in the checkout code space.
All right, let's get into Eileen Wuornos.
Yeah, who is Eileen Wuornos? So she's branded the damsel of death. Eileen Wuornos was accused of killing 7 men in actually just about the span of a year, from 89 to 90. Yeah. Luckily, it wasn't me. I was only one.
That's true.
So I want to just get rid of all the rumors. I was only one.
I was 3. So, yeah.
So I don't think I could have done it.
Could have been Matt.
Could have been Matt. Could have been Megan. We don't know.
I was in my 30s.
Really?
Easily could have been
No,
Matt.
I was like, wait a minute. No, that cannot be true.
He's definitely in his 30s. He was born in 1959, right?
Yeah, very casual.
After her arrest in 1991, Wuornos quickly gained notoriety as America's first female serial killer. Mm-hmm. We can't say for sure if she was the number one person, but she was definitely the most infamous.
Sure.
Almost 30 years later, we're still left with questions about what led Wuornos down her murderous path. She has a really, really tough life. Eileen Carol Wuornos was born in 1956 and grew up in Troy, Michigan. Wuornos was raised by her grandparents after she and her brother were abandoned by their mother as infants. Already,
How many times have we heard this over the 60-some episodes now?
Definitely. And it gets worse.
Yeah.
Wuornos never met her father, who actually committed suicide in prison because he was serving time for kidnapping and sodomizing a child.
That's a lot.
According to the Los Angeles Times. Wuornos said her grandfather was an abusive alcoholic, although her grandfather's son, Barry Wuornos, testified that he never saw Eileen get beat or mistreated and that her grandfather was not an alcoholic. Now, obviously, it's a he said, she said type of situation. We weren't there. We don't know.
Right.
But he never saw it. Could have happened behind closed doors. There's plenty of weird family secrets that are easy to keep.
Yeah.
She actually later claimed to have a brief sexual relationship with her brother. Now I have a brother, and I can confidently say, I love you, Evan.
Sure.
But I'm not attracted to you as a person.
That being said, your brother is an attractive guy.
And he's an attractive man. According to the book Female Serial Killers, How and Why Women Become Monsters, Wuornos at age 11 began having sex with neighborhood boys in exchange for cigarettes and spare change, earning her the nickname Cigarette Pig. I don't even want to say that because it sounds so fucking vulgar, and it is, but also age 11, it's just like, oh my God. According to court documents, Wuornos exhibited an IQ of 81 in the low, dull norma range during her junior high. Now, I've never taken an IQ test. I don't know what it is. I'm probably genius. If I had to say so myself, I wanted to be honest. But in Forrest Gump, his IQ is in the 70s. So that gives you, and there's a scene in Forrest Gump. So if it gives you kind of an idea of a lower range.
Yeah.
This is not a high functioning intellectual.
Right.
Around age 13, Matt, do you know what it's like to have an IQ of 81? Got it.
By the way, I think Matt probably has a really high IQ.
He's like a fucking idiot savant who can't do anything, but he knows how to like do trigonometry really well, which isn't practical.
I will say, just a quick tangent, is I listen to the Howard Stern Show every day, and they recently had another IQ face-off against a couple of their staff members where both guys were so sure that the other was going to test higher. They were so, one of them tested way higher than the other. And it had me thinking, like, what if we brought an IQ test person in here and the three or four of us did that?
Because
wouldn't it be hilarious?
It would be hilarious, but people would know I'm the dumbest. And I don't want people
you
to
would not.
Know
honestly,
that.
Honestly, I will say I would probably come in last.
Megan. Yeah, I'm thinking Megan too.
No, Megan would probably like
Didn't
want to
say Megan,
us.
But it's Megan.
No. All right. All right. Well, if you want to see an IQ test here on Martinis and Murder, send it on in. Tweet us in.
Tweet us. Hashtag dedicated. All right. Around age 13, Warno said she was raped by a family friend. She became pregnant and gave birth to a baby boy at a home for unwed mothers. Her son was immediately put up for adoption. I imagine it's very tough to raise a child at any age, let alone 13.
Right.
In high school, Warno started experimenting with drugs and alcohol when sleep in the woods at the end of her street or in abandoned cars to escape her home life. This is so sad. She eventually dropped out of school in 10th grade, around the same time her grandmother died from a liver disorder. Warnos then hitchhiked around the country, supporting herself through sex work and other odd service jobs. In May of 1974, Warnos was arrested in Colorado for driving under the influence, disorderly conduct, and firing a .22 caliber pistol from a moving vehicle. That's fucking intense.
I mean, this whole first section of the show is just unbelievable. It's like every line is another tragedy.
It's horrendous. She was later charged with failure to appear when she skipped town before her trial. Not a good way to start. In 1976, Warnos ended up in Daytona Beach, Florida. That same year, her grandfather committed suicide and her brother died of cancer.
It's like, I'm not exaggerating, every line is getting worse.
I mean, I thought the Kennedys were like the worst cursed family in American history. It might be the Warnoses.
Yeah.
So desperate for stability, Warnos married a wealthy retiree and yacht club president, 69-year-old Louis Grotzfeld. This seems like a change of pace in the story.
Yeah.
Marrying a wealthy guy, things seem to start picking up. Phil picked up Warnos while she was hitchhiking in Florida. He immediately fell for the 20-year-old blonde. Phil proposed to Warnos with a large diamond engagement ring, and their marriage even made it into the local newspaper society pages, along with a couple's wedding photo. However, their marriage did not last long.
Yeah.
During a trip to her hometown in Michigan, Warnos became intoxicated at a local bar and was arrested for hurling a cue ball at the bartender's head. Do you play pool? Do you play billiards?
Kind of.
Matt,
I mean,
do you?
I do.
Megan,
want to
you guys? Yeah. Okay. Those balls are heavy.
They're about a pound.
If you chucked it as hard as you wanted at a person's head, you could fucking kill them, blind them for sure. I mean,
whose idea was it to put like 10 very heavy balls in like,
gay
men did that.
It's obviously,
okay,
I'm gonna blame the gay men.
All right, I'm just saying the last place you should put like projectile objects like that are bars, but it's fine.
And the pool cues are like also weapons.
Right,
that's true. Like, it's not
it's
a
like
very
here.
Safe sport.
Here, come play this fun game where everyone gets drunk and smacks each other with these tools.
Right. But here we are talking about football CTE.
Right.
No one's looking at billiards.
There you go.
That's all I'm saying.
Something to think about.
So their marriage didn't last long, and during a trip to her hometown in Michigan, Warnos became intoxicated, right? So she threw a cue ball, and Phil returned to Florida without Warnos and filed a restraining order against his young blind bride, claiming she had been beaten with his cane.
So he's like freaked out. He's like, I'm getting the hell out of here and away
from
her.
That's not normal behavior.
No, it's not. Of course not.
After only, and I think, let me see, Kim Kardashian was married to
Chris Humphries
for what, 72 or 74 days?
I forget
days.
What it was. Good throwback.
They were married 9 weeks, and Phil had the marriage annulled. So it basically didn't even exist.
Right.
Warnos was alone again in Michigan, but this time she was actually left with $10,000 from her brother's life insurance. According to the serial killer files, Warnos blew through the money, and her life of luxury was short-lived. She eventually made her way back to Florida, where she made her money through sex work and occasional small crimes. This is what's so interesting. Occasional small crimes. In 81, Warnos was arrested after robbing a convenience store. of $33. Just for inflation. We're talking about maybe around high 40s, 50 bucks.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem worth it, but that just kind of, I think, goes to show her mentality and her sense of desperation at this time.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
She served a year in a Florida prison. After her release, Warnos was charged with a slew of crimes, including forgery, car theft, resisting arrest, and obstruction of justice. She wandered for years until 1986 when she met Tyria Moore at a lesbian bar in Daytona Beach. Listen.
All right, let's hear it.
I've never been to a lesbian bar in Daytona Beach.
But let's not rule anything out for the future.
Cream of the crop.
Yeah.
And I think we should take a little martinis and murder trip there.
Let's do it.
Is everyone in?
I'm down for it.
In.
Well, let's get into some of these murders. By the way, I also want to mention, we did talk about life insurance. I was just talking to Matt before we started recording. And how many, you know, I almost like don't want life insurance because I'm worried somebody will try to kill me.
And you know your boyfriend's going to fucking murder
you?
Yeah,
of course. Something's going to happen. I probably do have life insurance. I don't even know it. I don't know. Don't look it up.
Anyway, I think you'd know, sweetie.
I think I would know. Okay, the murders. Yes, Megan has a thought.
You might not know because anybody in the world can take out a life insurance policy.
Oh.
I don't have to tell you.
Anyone in the world can take out a life insurance policy and they don't even have to tell you. So what you're saying, Megan, this is why we have lawyer on the phone,
a lawyer
in the room. It's basically, I could take a life insurance policy out on John for $1 million.
Wait a minute.
Pay it for him.
Wait a minute.
But I could take it out saying, like, okay, if John dies, I get the million. Oh.
Well, all right. Let's just move on
here. That seems too easy.
Nobody listening better get any ideas.
Do we need to know Matt's middle name to do that? Or
what is Matt's middle name? I bet we can figure it out. Matt, is your middle name like
Jacobo?
Joseph? Matthew Joseph?
Jacobin.
What's the first?
Give us
what's
one
the first letter?
I'm not going to reveal my identity.
Oh, true.
Just give me the first letter.
Just first letter.
Fans, start tweeting at us. It's Timothy.
Thomas.
Well, it's definitely Thomas.
He's definitely Thomas. He'll tell us after the show.
Okay, there's lots of options.
All right, let's get into, there's quite a lot to get to, so we should definitely move on.
I'm already drunk, so let's move on.
Let's get to the murder. So an investigative journalist told Snap that Moore was Warnos' first real love of her life. The attraction was immediate, and the couple quickly moved in together. They're lesbians. That's how
it rolls.
Living in, by the way, we can say that, folks, we're gay here on the show.
No, you can't say it.
Darren and I are. What?
I can say it.
Oh, that's true. You should
speak for the... Cultural appropriation.
Living in various motel rooms across the state, Warnos took care of Moore and even let her give up her job as a hotel maid. While Moore stayed home, Warnos... Well, now, how does that work? Because she was just robbing things for $33. So does she have the money? She has the insurance money.
She has the insurance money. Yeah. And, you know, she's probably going to blow through it quick. You
right.
can probably make a decent living being a sex worker.
Oh, right.
I don't know back then. You know, it was probably a little bit more dangerous than it is now. Certainly more stigmatized. But I imagine you can make... Because it's cash. It's not like you're paying taxes on it.
Yeah, right.
Certainly back then. But I find it interesting that, like, if she can support her girlfriend,
good for her.
How much do you make, Darren?
Let's disclose all of our salaries.
Yeah, I mean, like, I make, like, $400,000 a year. Is that...
That's normal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Over the years, according to the Washington Post, Warnos claimed to have had sex with 200. Is this number right?
Yeah.
200,000 men, been raped. I mean, are there enough minutes in the day? Like three?
It's a job.
What? Yeah, it's a job.
It's a job. She's doing this to make a living. I mean, we're not. It's over the years. You know what I mean? But like, you could have a couple clients in a day.
Look, 200,000 men.
That's like Wilt Chamberlain status, though.
I mean, I think of the Rent song,
525,000. Yes.
And I'm like, if there are that many minutes in a year, I don't know that that's even feasibly possible.
No, that is. That's basically having a sex with men every 3 minutes in 1 year.
547.9 men
per day.
But how many years?
In a year, though. We're saying over the years.
I think only one at this point?
No, there's been more over the years. Anyway.
Let's fact check that in the meantime.
I mean, back to the cigarette pig days, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Matt.
I'm sorry.
Do we really have to go back to that?
Yeah, Matt.
God.
So inappropriate.
So here's some more very sad stats to come off of what Matt was just saying. So 200,000 men.
But been raped 9 times. If 200,000 men does make sense, let's just take facts for what they are.
Right.
Been raped 9 times. I gotta say, that feels like a very, that's, I mean, horrendous and fucking horrible, but it's almost like, I wonder.
Oh, like the ratio
well,
to.
Well, yeah, that seems very odd, yeah, though. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know where we're kind of getting those statistics, but it's, right. It seems very, very low.
She also says that she had been beaten up countless times, which I'm sure is part of that culture, frankly, you know. It's not a very safe situation. According to a journalist from Snap, Warnos was desperate to not be left by Moore, and her fear of abandonment was so severe that she would do anything to make money to keep supporting Moore. So on December... Oh. I know, isn't that like true love in a sense? On December 1st, 1989, after a few days of sex work along the roadsides of Florida, Warnos returned to the motel room where she and Moore were living. Now, by the way, we should mention, let's not give the name away, but there is a major motion picture... created around this storyline. So some of you might be like, where have I heard this
before?
We're
going to get to that.
We'll get to that in a minute, but see if you can figure it out.
I've never seen the movie, though, and I
haven't
really
either.
Want to, but I'm so scared by it.
I know. Maybe after this show, you'll be more like conditioned to watch it.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
I think going over the script is sadder than the movie.
Yeah.
Like, oh, definitely.
Well, I think it's just having the visual of what went down in that movie, what I know went down in that movie is hard to watch.
Yeah. We'll get to the movie in a second, but just for fun, you guys can try to think of what it is. Many of the love stories we cover here on Martinis and Murder end in bloodbaths and prison time. For those of you who would rather sink down into a soft romance with a fairy tale ending, you need Nectar, the bed that even mattresses dream about.
The folks at Nectar are believers in love at first night. However, for the cynics out there, they give you 365 nights to discover your happily ever after. If you aren't 100% happy and riding into the sunset with your new mattress, they will pick the mattress back up for free and give you a full refund.
The Nectar sleep mattress is 11 inches deep, so yes, bigger is better and utilizes a unique 5-layer technology that no mattress on the market has.
Why does no other mattress compete? Because Nectar doesn't like to share. They patented the most breathable, cooling, body contouring, medical grade, lush foam gel memory layer to bring you the most cloud-like comfort.
Nectar's memory foam meets your body's contours and provides pressure point relief. So if you long to wake up every morning pain-free, Nectar is here to make your dreams come true.
If you buy now with our exclusive listener offer, you get $125 off and 2 free premium pillows with any mattress order and free delivery.
To experience the perfect fairy tale ending to every day, just go to nectarsleep.com/martinis and get the best sleep you ever had every night for the rest of your life and then some. According to court documents, Warnos was intoxicated and confessed to Moore that she had shot and killed a man early that morning. That day, a deputy discovered an abandoned vehicle belonging to Richard Mallory, a 52-year-old electronics shop owner. On December 13th, his body was found under a piece of carpet several miles away in a wooded area. He had been shot several times, and the medical examiner determined he had died from 2 gunshot wounds to his left lung. On June 1st, 1990, officers discovered the body of 43-year-old construction worker David Spears. Except for his baseball cap, Spears was nude.
Which is weird.
That's very weird. He had been shot 6 times and his truck was found nearby. On June 6, 1990, the body of Charles Karskaden, yeah, that's a tough one, a 40-year-old truck driver and part-time rodeo bull rider, very casual, was discovered in the woods. He had been shot 9 times. His car was found at a different location. So there are a lot of murders going on here. So on July 4th, 1990, police found the abandoned car of Peter Sims. Sorry if I'm not saying that right. A 65-year-old missionary. Inside the vehicle, there were bloodstains on the seats and door handles. His body was never located. On August 4th, 1990, Troy Burress, a 50-year-old truck driver who had been making deliveries for a sausage company, was found dead by a group of people picnicking in the woods near a lake.
Obviously, that was clearly an act of lesbianism if he was delivering sausages.
Only lesbians would be,
obviously,
you know, targeting
offended
them.
By this.
The body was badly decomposed, but investigators were able to determine he had been shot twice. His truck was found a few miles away. On September 12, 1990, 2 young boys riding their bikes came across the body of Charles Richard Humphreys, a 56-year-old child abuse investigator. He had been shot 6 times. Several counties north, investigators found Humphreys' car abandoned near a gas station. On November 19, 1990, Walter Gino Antonio was found dead near a remote logging road. The 62-year-old truck driver and the member of the reserve police was found nearly nude and had been shot 4 times. times. Police found his car 5 days later in a different county.
Now, obviously, this is all tying back to Eileen Wuornos because that's what we're talking right. about. There seems to be a common theme. Older gentlemen, 40s, 50s, 60s. These aren't young boys. Young girls. These are men, clearly. Truck driver, more of a blue collar type of profession. People on the road, people probably right. who would have interacted with her. And I think it's the nudity thing is actually going to come into play a little bit later, but I think that's a really interesting how the police found out it was her, I think, is actually quite fascinating.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
We'll get to the arrest right now. All shootings were committed with a .22 caliber pistol, and all of the victims had been robbed, according to the Chicago Tribune. The victims' vehicles were also all found abandoned on or near heavily traveled roadways. An investigator told Snap that in every car they recovered, the driver's side seat was in the forwardmost position, which usually means it's a smaller person. Mm. Condom packages were also left behind in several of the cars, according to the New York Times. You know, side note, I wonder if, and this is kind of a random thought, but men are sort of more like this was an easier thing for her to pull off, because when men look at women, they're like, okay, I could take her if anything happens. Yeah. Like, I wonder if, you know, obviously more serial killers are men, but like as a woman, I'm fearful of everyone right off the bat.
Right.
Whereas men might be like, oh, it's just a nice, you know, girl and this and that. It might have been easier for her to pull this off.
Well, can I tell you, there are some videos up on Oxygen.com by the time you guys are listening to this of one of her friends who says she can't believe that Eileen pulled some of this off because she's only a tiny, tiny 5'2", little, you know, woman.
But exactly. I feel like she pulled it off because of that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
it's, you know, I mean, would you be scared of a 5'2" girl? Not immediately.
Look, you're what, 5'6", 5'7" in there somewhere? I'm scared of you.
Well,
so,
I'm 5'7", sweetie.
Yeah, there you go. 5'7", sweetie.
Due to the small size of the handgun, the driver's seat positioning, and the fact that some victims were partially or completely nude, investigators came to the conclusion the offender was a woman, reported Snapped. According to the Sun Sentinel, police got their first case in the break when a witness reported seeing two women walk away from the fourth victim's car after crashing it. The fourth victim was Peter Symes, as you had said.
Yeah.
Composite sketches of the woman were printed in various Florida newspapers and distributed across the country. Various tips came in from the public, and detectives were able to identify the women in the composite sketches as Eileen Wuornos and her girlfriend Tyria Moore. Detectives tracked the couple to the Fairview Motel in Port Orange, Florida, but they didn't apprehend anyone. Officers checked out nearby pawn shops where they located pawn tickets under the name Cammy Green, which was actually the same alias Wuornos used to rent out the motel room.
Mm.
One of the pawn tickets was for a box of tools, lesbian, similar to David Spears's missing tools, and he was the second victim. The tools had been pawned 1 month after Spears was killed, which seems like a long time, right? If you're looking for quick cash.
That's true.
I don't know, but maybe she was...
Maybe she had some cash and just needed it a month later.
Or maybe she knew it would be caught quickly if this went missing and then she pawns it. So another pawn ticket was for a camera and radar detector, which were items that had been taken from the first victim, Richard Mallory, which you spoke about. Detectives ran the thumbprint on the camera and radar detector pawn ticket through their database. The thumbprint was a match for Lori Grody, one of Wuornos' other aliases, who had been arrested for carrying a concealed firearm. In early January of 1991, law enforcement set up a sting operation with two undercover detectives, Mike Joyner and Dick Martin. Joyner and Martin tracked down Wuornos to a Daytona biker bar near the motel where she was staying. Joyner told Snapped he got close to Wuornos by flashing around his money. He said, quote, every time I took money out of my pocket, I let her see the $100 bills. I started buying her beers and cigarettes and playing pool. And we had done that for 3 days and two nights, end quote. According to Joyner, Wuornos opened up about how sad and lonely she was because she and her girlfriend Tyria Moore had broken up. And Moore had moved back up north. Court documents reveal that when Moore saw media reports that police were looking for two women in connection with a series of murders, she left Wuornos and returned to her hometown in Pennsylvania.
Mm.
I mean,
yeah,
you know, I don't blame her, but when the times get tough,
right.
Through sickness and in health, through crimes and murders. Joyner recalled how Wuornos could drink beer more than he could and how she drank all day and all night long. For a small girl, that's fucking impressive. One night while they were partying together, Wuornos allegedly hit Joyner in the back with a pool cue.
Just like you said.
Fucking billiards. According to Snapped, when he asked her why she hit him, Wuornos allegedly responded, honey, I don't know. Sometimes it just comes over me.
By the way, that is so something that you would say.
I'm like, sweetie,
honey,
I don't know.
Sweetie.
You pat people on the butt. Who the fuck cares? Yeah. I don't know. It's just me. I'm drunk.
Such a Darren thing to say.
Okay. It's so me.
Yeah.
At that point, Joyner said he believed he was going to be Wuornos's next victim. The next day, Wuornos told Joyner they should go out that night and asked him to bring all of his money.
Oh, yeah.
It works for me, apparently. When I tell my girlfriend, I'm like, bring those fives, girl.
Yep.
She brings them.
Oh, yeah.
All two of them.
All two fives.
According to Joyner, well, that's when he contacted fellow officers to end the undercover investigation on January 9th, 1991. What were you doing?
Probably just like playing with my dinosaurs.
Yeah, I was probably like shitting my pants or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, totally.
Wuornos was arrested at the Last Resort Bar in an outstanding 1986 warrant for weapons possession, reported the New York Times. She was held on that charge until being charged in connection with the murder of Richard Mallory, the first victim. You know, reading this, I don't know if you've ever gotten the sense, but I feel like it would be very daunting to just try and like make up a fake alias.
Definitely.
And like live your life by that alias.
Yeah, I was surprised
to
by some of those numbers.
To me, this seems easy to do.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what else? You know, we talk about, you know, evidence and how killers leave things behind. She didn't really seem to be covering her tracks very well. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, she left the seat up. There were condoms, this, that, everything. You know, she wasn't...
Same fucking murder weapon.
Yeah.
Although probably hard to come by a certain murder weapon maybe if you're not making money, but
potentially
still.
Yeah, I just found that part interesting.
Sure.
Well, let's talk about the investigation. So shortly after Wuornos's arrest, police were able to locate Moore in Scranton, Pennsylvania, home of Dunder Mifflin Paper Company.
That's what we're all thinking.
That's what everyone thinks when they think Scranton, Pennsylvania. Shout out to the office.
Fun.
Oh, sorry, I spit.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.
Moore denied any involvement in the murders and agreed to help police in order to clear her own name. According to the Washington Post, Moore headed back to Florida and was put up in a Daytona Beach motel room for 4 days by police. They reportedly kept her supplied with, quote, plenty of Budweiser and hamburgers.
Hey, as they that's the most lesbian fucking thing in the world. Keep going.
Said by you, not
yes.
me.
Yes.
As they tape recorded 10 telephone calls between Moore and Wuornos while she was in jail. During one of their conversations, Moore told Wuornos she was afraid police were going to arrest her for the murders. Sorry, I was like not saying that right. Wuornos and murders.
Wuornos murders. Wuornos, yeah, that's tough.
I want to say mortars every time.
Mortars.
Wuornos responded, quote, you're innocent. I'm not going to let you go to jail. Listen, if I have to confess, I will. Which, by the way, you've
true
confessed.
True fucking love.
On January 16th, 1991, Wuornos confessed to killing the seven men after they picked her up hitchhiking. She told police, quote, I just wish I never would have done what I did. I still have to say to myself, I still say that it was in self-defense because most of them either were gonna start to beat me or were gonna screw me in the ass. They'd get rough with me, so I'd fight them and I'd get away from them. And as I'd get away from them, I'd grab my gun and just start shooting, end quote. Sorry, that was tough to get through, because when you speak like other people,
certain dialect.
Yeah, there's a dialect there.
He's lucky that the word vagina wasn't
there. Thank God. He would have given me that. God. He would have made me read it.
I don't think I would have.
You did say screw me up the ass, though.
That's true.
I'm proud of you.
Isolate that sound bite.
Yeah.
Warner said, Megan just gave me a thumbs
She's
up. Megan,
slow if you do just that doubt, screw yeah. Yeah.
Megan, if you do that, you're fired.
Yeah. Sweetie.
I have no
you
power.
Have no control.
Warner said she was confessing because she didn't want Moore to get, quote, messed up for something I did. I know I'm going to miss her for the rest of my life.
That's kind of sweet.
I don't sympathize with the murderer, Darren. Snap out of it.
Sorry.
You know, it's just her childhood.
You do sympathize for that.
It is kind of heartbreaking.
It's heartbreaking. It's crushing. This woman never had a chance.
No, she never had a chance.
Not that she had to kill 7 people, but she never had a fucking chance.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. That's a good point. Take a drink. Warnos also gave directions for a dive team to recover her weapon, the .22 caliber pistol. Warnos was then charged in connection with the murder of Richard Mallory. So I want to know where some of the missing bodies are, by the way.
She's at least not putting up a fight or, you know, I mean, definitely she went under different aliases, but it seems like once she was in custody, it seemed like smooth sailing from there. So here's the Mallory trial. Warnos pleaded not guilty, claiming she acted in self-defense and that Mallory had violently raped her.
Well, I do want to also, you know, I said don't sympathize, but I think it is worth mentioning that, especially in the sex worker industry, this is a common thing. You know, men want to have their way, whatever. I don't know that we should instantly dismiss that it wasn't self-defense, you know?
I think it's hard to prove either way.
Right.
But I don't want to go on the record saying that it wasn't self-defense. Yeah. It easily could have been.
Sure.
100%.
Yeah.
And if she's this small as, you know, I mean, it's kind of easy to take advantage of someone like that, unfortunately. Though Warnos's first trial was only for the murder of her first victim, a judge ruled to allow in evidence from 6 other murders. The prosecution was able to present this evidence due to Florida's law known as Williams Rule, which allows evidence related to collateral crimes to be admitted if it helps to show motive, intent, knowledge, modus operandi, or lack of mistake.
Oh, Florida.
Probably tougher to argue that it was self-defense with all 7
with
murders.
7 murders.
So I imagine this is where it kind of comes in.
Right.
Along with this evidence, the prosecution also added a star witness, Tyria Moore.
Yeah.
Moore was never charged or implicated in the murders. According to the Orlando Sentinel, Warnos clutched a handkerchief as Moore's name was called, and Moore avoided eye contact with Warnos during her testimony. Moore testified that on the day of Mallory, the day he was shot, Warnos told her she had killed a man. According to Moore, she said she didn't want to believe it and told Warnos to stop talking about it.
Mm.
Moore also said Warnos didn't appear injured or upset the day she told her about the killing. A private investigator told Snap that prior to the trial, a psychologist diagnosed Warnos with delusional disorder. Warnos, however, didn't want to plead insanity, which prohibited her defense team from presenting mental health arguments, according to Snapped. This also stopped her defense team from bringing up her traumatic childhood and the alleged sex abuse she experienced growing up. On the last day of the trial, Warnos gave her testimony detailing Mallory's alleged rape. Here's what she said.
Yeah.
I said I would not have sex with him. He said, yes, you are, bitch. You're going to do everything I tell you. If you don't, I'm going to kill you and have sex with you after you're dead, just like the other sluts. It doesn't matter. Your body will still be warm. I can barely read this. He tied my wrist to the steering wheel and screwed me in the ass. Afterwards, he got a Visine bottle filled with rubbing alcohol out of the trunk. He said the Visine bottle was one of my surprises. He emptied it into my rectum. It really hurt bad because he tore me up a lot. He got dressed, got a radio, sat on the hood for what seemed like an hour. I was really pissed. I was yelling at him and struggling to get my hands free. Eventually, he untied me, put a stereo wire around my neck, and tried to rape me again. Then I thought, well, this dirty bastard deserves to die because of what he was trying to do to me. We struggled. I reached for my gun. I shot him. I scrambled to cover the shooting because I didn't think the police would believe I killed him in self-defense.
Horrible.
Do you believe it or not? Just snap judgment.
I mean, I don't know that I have enough evidence to really say. I mean, it's an
hard
interesting
to say, right?
Yeah, I mean,
it's hard
who
to
knows?
Say, it's, yeah, I don't. I actually don't know because I think the details are really specific enough to at least create a little bit of credibility, in my opinion, knowing that there's like a Visine bottle. However, knowing she killed 6 other people makes it really hard for me to believe it, only because, well, one, you have a gun, so you feel like you should have the upper hand in this situation. In my opinion,
you would think,
you would think. I don't know. I'm not saying everyone does, but you'd sort of think,
right?
Okay, this is the thing that's going to protect me. But the fact that she saw 6 other people,
yeah.
I mean, it's also the I could go either way here because of the low IQ.
Oh, right.
Right. Good point. Think, take a drink.
You know, that is kind of, like, I guess you could have I guess you could have a big imagination and come up with that lower IQ. But
that's right. a very interesting point, though.
It's just so detail oriented. Although we have seen murderers come up with very specific details because they think that
that'll get them off.
Right.
Having those specific details. But she has an IQ of like 81. Yeah, I mean, this is a low cognition here. Are you hiring? Posting your position to job sites and waiting and waiting for the right people to see it?
ZipRecruiter knew there was a smarter way, so they built a platform that finds the right job candidates for you.
ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply to your job.
These invitations have revolutionized how you find your next hire.
In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day.
And ZipRecruiter doesn't stop there. They even spotlight the strongest applications you receive so you never miss a great match.
The right candidates are out there. ZipRecruiter is how you find them.
Businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter to help with their unique hiring needs.
Right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free.
Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/cocktails. That's ZipRecruiter.com/cocktails. One more time, that's ZipRecruiter.com/cocktails.
ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Well, according to court documents, Warnos is telling events had changed considerably since her initial confession, but she did maintain she acted in self-defense.
Oh, Darren's just taking a drink. How is it?
I gotta wet my whistle.
Nice.
After 2 hours of deliberation, the jury found Warnos guilty of first-degree murder. When the verdict was announced, Warnos was visibly upset and shouted, "I was raped. I hope you get raped, scumbags of America." In the penalty phase of her trial, the same jurors were asked to recommend a sentence for Warnos. The prosecution was seeking the death penalty, because of course they fucking were, and the defense was seeking life without parole. Warnos's mental health was finally brought up during the penalty phase, thank the fucking Lord.
Yeah.
The defense asserted Warnos has suffered from a personality disorder. One defense psychologist said, "Miss Warnos is probably one of the most primitive people I've seen outside an institution."
Wow. That's powerful.
Her lawyers, according to the New York Times, also contended her grandfather was an alcoholic who abused her physically and emotionally. These claims were challenged when Barry Warnos, her grandfather's son, testified that he had never seen his father beat or abuse Warnos and also said he was not an alcoholic. He said, "We were a pretty straight and normal family, very little trouble in the family." In the middle of the trial, it was alleged several investigators hired a lawyer to represent them for film rights for the story of capturing Warnos. The state attorney's office found no wrongdoing after its investigation. On January 31st, 1992, Warnos was sentenced to death. The judge said, "By warrant of the governor of the state of Florida, you, Eileen Carol Warnos, be electrocuted until you are dead."
I actually forgot that there's still like the electric chair and that kind of stuff out there.
I can't. I mean, I'm very anti-death penalty, but I mean,
it's just so inhumane.
I understand that she killed seven people, but she never had a fucking chance either, too. Like,
right.
It's still a human being. It's still a human life.
Well, let's talk about some of the other murder trials. Warnos only stood trial for the killing of Mallory. She pleaded no contest to the five other murders, according to CNN. Though it was believed she was responsible for the death of Peter Seams, his body was never located, and Warnos was not charged in his death.
No body. It's hard to charge someone.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no body.
According to her defense attorney, Warnos only pleaded no contest to spare herself from more trials. In an interview with NBC News, her attorney explained, quote, "She said, 'I want to get out of this. Let's get it over with. I won't have to go from county jail to county jail.'" Warnos received a death sentence for each of the murders.
Oh,
she did, however, maintain that she murdered Mallory in self-defense. While pleading no contest to the murders of Humphreys, Burris, and Spears, Warnos said she, quote, "wanted to get right with God and that she wanted to confess to you that Richard Mallory did violently rape me, as I've told you. But these others did not, only began to start to. And the psychological trauma from the worst rape I've ever gone through before in my life left me in a set frame of mind in never allowing it to ever happen again. Once they even started, it was a fight and hopefully win. And each one used physical force or a weapon to prove to me they were going to carry out a rape or even kill afterwards, which I wasn't about to wait around to see. I just right flat out killed them," end quote. Sometimes reading quotes is tough because it's like you have to understand what they're thinking and like follow their like train of thought. That's a tough one. But I mean, imagine having to defend yourself like that. If what she's saying is true.
Well, yeah. And I think to Matt's point when he's asking, you know, do we believe it? I mean, if she's saying that, okay, the others didn't rape and they were maybe making the move to, but at least admitting that they weren't.
Yeah.
It gives me emotionally a little bit more of clarity thinking that this person might have raped her.
Yeah, totally. I mean, when you set all of these facts aside and just think, hypothetically, if what she's saying is true, it is a true tragedy. If it's not,
her whole life is a tragedy.
Yeah, that's true.
The victims that she, the people that she killed, but herself, it's not like she had a great life and was like, I'm just going to kill someone.
Right.
You know?
During Warnus's subsequent convictions, by the way, how's the drink? You're just finishing this flask on up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is this not called fucking martinis
and
murder?
No, I'm asking how much you like it.
It's delicious.
Great.
Don't
wow, sorry. I want to ask
John,
again.
Well, John, I mean, you didn't even say how like sexy and cool I look drinking from a flask.
You look so sexy and so cool.
Thank
You're crazy, sexy, cool, the TLC album.
Thank you.
During Warnus's subsequent convictions, according to the Washington Post, quote, it did come out that Richard Mallory had been convicted of a sexual assault at age 19, but his record had been clean for decades. So this guy has a history of sexual assault.
So she might not have been...
lying
she
here.
She might not
yeah.
have been lying, people.
That information hadn't been included in Warnus's first trial. Court records discovered by NBC's Dateline said that at the time, quote, it was observed of Mr. Mallory that he possessed strong sociopathic trends, not unlike Matt.
Mm-hmm.
According to the Washington Post, Mallory pleaded not guilty by reason of insanity in 1957 to charges that he attempted to rape a woman in Maryland. He spent 10 years in a psychiatric prison for disturbed offenders. Like, this is a lot
okay.
of details. One of Warnus's public defenders said that if jurors had known about Mallory's past, they may not have convicted Warnus or sent her to the electric chair. Right.
This is one of the reasons I don't believe in the death penalty.
Yeah. Well, especially nowadays when we're hearing about so many wrongful convictions.
I can't.
That can be a whole other
really
episode.
Really bothers me.
Yeah. She said, quote, this is information that the jury should have had in making up its mind about whether she's attacked and killed Mallory in self-defense, end quote. A detective told Snap that prior to Warnus trial, the defense did present Mallory's past convictions to the judge. The judge, however, ruled not to allow the information into the trial because Mallory's attempted rape happened more than 30 years ago, as if that should matter.
Well, there might be a statute of limitations on that.
Well,
and
sure, but I mean,
right?
It does
Diane,
show
there must
behavior.
Be like a, if it happened 30 years ago, maybe it's not admissible in court.
It's up to the judge. So Megan saying that, say that again, Megan, it's more.
It could color the jury's opinion.
Prejudicial than probative. This is why I don't have a high IQ.
Yes.
These are tough words. Basically saying, as you just mentioned too, it would could cover color the jury in the
opinion.
Wrong way.
Right.
After her sixth and final conviction for the murder of Walter Gino Antonio, Warnus began her time on death row.
Okay, so here we go. While in prison from 1993 to 2002, Warnus's defense team worked to overturn her death sentences.
That's a long time, by the way.
I mean,
almost a decade.
Yeah, that's a, and on death row, mind
right,
you.
Right,
they were repeatedly denied, according to the New York Times. In 2001, Warnus fired her defense team and dropped all her appeals. Warnus then asked to be put to death. She said, I killed those men, robbed them as cold as ice, and I'd do it again, too. There's no chance in keeping me alive or anything because I'd kill again. I have hate crawling through my system.
Ooh,
ugh.
That's very dark-sided.
She added, there's no point in sparing me. It's a waste of taxpayers' money.
Hmm.
End quote. Now, truthfully, it costs more to kill somebody than it does to keep them in jail. So she's inaccurate about that statement as someone who is very advocate about being against death row.
But
to be fair, she seems to have the wherewithal to know that she's a cold-blooded killer and has hate running through her veins and that she at least is messed up mentally in some sort of way.
Well, and I think there's also the point of, like, she's either going to be sitting in jail the rest of her life
right.
or she's going to be dead anyway.
Exactly. So path of least resistance,
exactly.
Why wait around for it? After her request, one defense attorney argued that Warnus may not be mentally competent to demand her own death by lethal injection. While waiting on death row, Warnus had complained about prison guards poisoning her food and bombarding her cell with noise so she couldn't sleep. According to Snap, Warnus' defense attorney said her behavior raised serious questions. He explained, she would laugh uncontrollably when there was nothing to laugh at. She she would obsess on certain points that really had nothing to do with her case or why I was there.
Sometimes I do that, though. Laugh uncontrollably about something that's not there.
Yeah, that's Megan's like not that crazy. especially if you're on like death row, you might be a right. little fucking frantic.
You might want to entertain yourself.
But Wornall still claims she was competent. She yeah. said, I'm so sick of hearing that she's crazy stuff. I've been evaluated so many times. I'm competent, sane, and I'm trying to tell the truth. And I'll take a polygraph on every single word on those pages. This is high functioning.
Yeah, you're
considering
right.
Considering her IQ was so low.
Right.
In 2002, Florida Governor Jeb Bush, granted a stay of execution pending a psychiatric evaluation.
Please clap. Remember that from last year?
Jeb. Oh, yeah. Please clap.
Please clap.
A panel of three psychiatrists later ruled Warnes is competent for execution, and Governor Jeb Bush reinstated her death warrant. On October 9th, 2002, Warnes was executed by lethal injection almost a decade after her final conviction. At the time, Warnes was only the 10th woman to be executed in the United States since 1976. Warnes declined a last meal and instead asked for a cup of coffee, which is bizarre. I would not want to be alert when I'm getting lethally injected.
And I would definitely be at the very least asking for Taco Bell, you know, for my last meal.
Although her last words were kind of interesting. Her last words were, I'd just like to say I'm sailing with the rock and I'll be back like Independence Day with Jesus June 6th, like the movie. Big mothership and all, I'll be back.
I'm going to say this. If I ever have last words that I can announce to the world,
you're going to mention a Will Smith
movie. It would
movie.
Definitely be Will Smith involved.
Yeah, obviously.
Absolutely.
In 2003, actress Charlize Theron, portrayed mm-hmm. Warnes in the film Monster, which grossed over $60 million, which was the movie we were talking about before.
Right.
At the 2004 Academy Awards, Theron earned an Oscar for Best Actress for playing Warnes.
I do want to say one thing, though, before we wrap up this really tragic murder and so
yeah,
murders.
Yeah, I'm getting drunk because I'm like down.
Yeah, right.
You
yeah.
know what I mean? Like, I'm hoping it'll lift my spirits, but alcohol doesn't do that.
Yeah.
So I'm just like really stewing in my depression.
Well, I was listening to what you were reporting here about Jeb Bush, and isn't it interesting that like Jeb Bush can just reinstate her death warrant and then she dies? Like, it's so...
Isn't that fucking
we can
sick
get into
that
like,
you can fucking murder a human being legally by the government?
Yeah.
That's we can get into that separately.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, I know
or
it's like...
Or tweet me, but...
It's very controversial. I don't want to like, you know, open a can of worms, but...
I do.
I mean, obviously so many things had to happen for him to get to that point, but... And for that reason alone, I would never want to be like a governor or the president because I could not handle like consciously on my head that I was responsible for any person's death.
So many
even
people have no problem just yeah. wanting people to die, though.
Well, listen,
like even casually in their statements, people have no fucking problem saying that to me. It's beyond absurd.
I don't want to get political, but I will say that I saw the president tweet something about the Austin bomber
yep.
who was almost like excited that
I'm
he was
going
dead.
To Austin tomorrow.
Oh
by
God,
the way.
Be safe. Well, I the know. Guy blew himself up,
yep.
but his sort of whimsical approach at just someone dying, I found that very insensitive. But I think that you and I are in some ways the outliers. I think most people want justice and revenge, and if that means killing someone, that's what it takes.
Yep.
But that's just my opinion. That's just me here on a Martinis
Wait,
and Murder.
Is South by Southwest, is South by Southwest coming up?
It just happened. It just happened.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're just in Austin for fun?
Yeah, birthday yeah. party.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, just traveling for a 30th.
There you go.
But, you know, to end sort of this conversation, because
yeah.
obviously we've talked about the death penalty before, if
yeah.
anyone out there is against the death penalty like I am, the Innocence Project is a great place to donate to because they actually, they're responsible for, I think, overturning 250-ish
yeah.
Cases due to DNA evidence of people off of death row, and I'm very passionate about it, so I just kind of wanted to give them a shout out.
Yeah,
there
you go.
Super important. Well, we're depressed.
so let's be happy.
Let's change the pace.
Let's go to a bar.
Yes.
And play some billiards.
Fuck yeah. Oh,
no. Nope, not happening.
Good thing I barely know how to play.
Yeah.
Listener shout outs. Lauren on Twitter says, it took me 3 weeks of binging from episode one, but I'm finally all caught up on Martinis and Murder. At Jay Thrasher and at Carpe Darren, I can no longer step outside without thinking there's a murderer right around the corner. # Dan, your wife is here. Dan, your wife is here.
Dan, your wife is here.
Your wife is here. # dedicators, # cheers, bitches. You know, we were doing that math before with the, you know,
yeah.
200,000 men. 3 weeks to complete 60-plus episodes of Martinis and Murder. I'm pretty sure it comes out to the same math. That's all I'm saying. Same 300 episodes a day.
By the way, if you can no longer step outside without thinking there's a murderer right around the corner, we've done our jobs.
That is what we're here to help you. Everyone is a murderer.
Becca tweeted to you, Darren, saying, quote, listening to Martinis and Murder and drinking Bailey's Martini for belated St. Patty's Day celebrations, which were just last weekend as we record this. Love listening to y'all while I clean the house. Hashtag peep it and prowl and hashtag dedicators.
Love it.
I love when people tell me that they're listening while they clean because I do the exact same thing.
Of course, it's the best time.
Everyone's shaking their head. I always put my headphones in. I zone out.
So
I don't think about what I'm doing.
We know you don't clean.
I don't clean. You're right.
We know you have a little robot to do that for you.
I love my Roomba.
So voicemails, which we like to get to and we like to end. We'll have more soon. Yeah. Feel free to call in and say hi. Your message might get played on air. 212-664-2072. Again, 212-664-2072.
Yeah.
Call us. Compliment us.
Comment and get a t-shirt, by the way.
Yeah, shit on Matt. It's all fun and games.
All right, that's it for this week's episode. As we begin to say goodbye on this week's episode, I just want to mention that, and I want to make sure we cut straight to black here, made it through the whole episode, and I did not get hit with the orange peel. That's it for this week's episode. See you guys next week.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.